Good morning.
Good morning.
Today is a very eventful Sunday, isn't it? I'm very glad that we are all here. Can we all turn to our neighbor and say, today is a good Sunday? Can we all turn to our neighbor and say, today is a good Sunday? Today we welcomed new members. Today we celebrated the life-changing experiences that our youth had. Today, we also will soon, after the message, be celebrating communion, the table of our Lord, and celebrate it on World Communion Sunday, being reminded that this is a meal that is shared with Christians all around the globe. And also today, we are going to be closing our sermon series today as well. So could you please recite with me our new vision statements? We are deeply passionate emissaries of Christ's love to our neighborhood and the world. Can you close your eyes and try it? One, two, three. We are deeply passionate emissaries of Christ's love to our neighborhood and the world. Amen. Before I go into today's message, I just wanted to say a quick note. I was reading through the manuscript once again last night, and I realized what a nerd I am. I just love history. And I was reading through, I was like, wow, I'm such a nerd. Today, I'm going to be talking a lot of history. And so if you like history like me, then you're going to enjoy this message. If you don't, and if you doze off, then you are forgiven. So just a quick warning. So again, today, October 7th, is World Communion Sunday. World Communion Sunday began in 1936, actually in the Presbyterian Church, and then in 1940 it was adopted by the National Council of Churches. And since then, the celebration has grown into an international ecumenical celebration of Christian unity. World Communion Sunday is a day when we mark the almost universal Christian practice of breaking bread, drinking from the cup, and remembering both how this meal reminds us of Jesus' betrayal and his sacrifice, but also how it is shared around the globe in different languages, different traditions and customs, and in various forms of liturgy. So at its best, World Communion Sunday serves two purposes. It is both a joyous and meaningful partaking in Jesus' sacred meal, and also a mind-opening exposure to different Christian traditions around the world. Today, again, we are concluding our sermon series titled, Who Are We? Or Who Are Wesleyans? Last 5 weeks, we went deeper into our new vision statement and explored the specifics on how God might be calling us to fulfill this preferable future. And today, we're going to talk about the fifth and final part of this vision statement, and that is of the world. What does it mean to be a deeply passionate emissary of Christ's love, not only to our neighborhood, not only to our backyard, but to the world? Will you pray with me before we begin? Almighty God, we give you thanks for this wonderful Sunday, this day we come to worship you, to honor you. Lord, I am an unworthy vessel, but Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. I was born here in the States and I was raised here, but in the second grade, my family and I, we moved to Korea, and my dad became the associate pastor to Cheongdong First Methodist Church in Seoul, the capital, and this church is actually the first ever Christian church in Korea. And every Sunday, we would take the subway, get off the subway, walk through City Hall, through this little pathway, and we would walk to the church. There would be this gated entrance. We would go in, and right before we go into the building, there was this courtyard. And in the courtyard, there was this statue. This statue is Reverend Henry Gerhard Appenzeller. Appenzeller is considered the father of Korean Christianity. He was born in Souderton, Pennsylvania in 1858 to a Mennonite mother and a German Reformed father. After a conversion experience at the age of 18, Appenzeller joined a Methodist church in Lancaster and soon after received the call to ministry. So he traveled to Drew Theological Seminary in Madison, New Jersey, to become a pastor. While in seminary, Appenzeller always felt a strong affinity to John Wesley's famous quote, "The world is my parish." and a strong calling, especially to global missions. He felt that God was calling him to go out into the world. When a window of opportunity opened up to a far away foreign country where not much was known, previously known as the Hermit Kingdom because it was closed off from the rest of the world, called Korea, Appenzeller took the opportunity. At the age of 27, Appenzeller and his wife Ella, who was 2 months pregnant at the time, said their goodbyes, got on a train to San Francisco, from where they then got on a ship across the Pacific. After more than 3 months of travel, Henry Appenzeller and his wife Ella arrived in the west coast of Korea, just a couple miles from the capital, Seoul, on Easter morning, April 5th, 1885. Later that year, Ella gave birth to Alice Appenzeller, who is the first American ever born in Korea. And Alice later goes on to serve as the president of Ewha University, which is the first and most prestigious women's college in Korea. Just a quick side note there. Again, history. I love history. So, during this time, Korea, especially Seoul, was going through extreme political struggle. While the king of Korea had opened the country to foreign aid in the form of education and medicine, missionaries could not set up a church nor preach in public. By law, Koreans at the time who professed a Christian faith were executed. Just a few years prior, 8,000 Catholics were massacred in this country. So again, this was a very dangerous place to be. 2 years after Appenzeller landed in Korea, in 1887, the laws changed and public worship was finally allowed. And at that time, Appenzeller started the first ever Christian church in Korea, Cheongdong First Methodist Church. Appenzeller's work opened the door to more missionaries to come to Korea, many in the form of education and medicine and modern technology. Several other, actually, Drew graduates followed Appenzeller to Korea over the next 20 years. Now, I spent the last few weeks reading through Henry Appenzeller's memoirs, and I couldn't help but ask myself, why? Why go through all this trouble? Again, Korea at the time was under severe political unrest. There was, one, barely any Western presence in the peninsula, so he'd be very alone. Your wife is 2 months pregnant, dude. Like, this would mean that your child would be born in a foreign country without the best, if any, medical care. You'd be 4 months travel away from home. The prominent American literature regarding Korea at the time would have depicted Koreans as, quote, barbaric, uncivilized, and potentially cannibalistic. Those are not true. Especially that last part is not true. But that was the image that people had of Koreans at the time. So the question is, why? Why, Henry? Why would you do this? Why would you risk so much? Why would you risk it all? For what ends? For what? The Apostle Paul, the author of today's scripture reading, was another missionary who risked so much. After his conversion to the way of Christ, Paul spends the rest of his life starting new churches throughout Asia Minor and equipping them with the gospel. Upon arriving in Antioch from his first missionary journey after 18 months on the road, Paul received a report that the churches that he had started in Galatia had fallen into hard times, that there were infighting about whether the new Greek Christians ought to follow the Jewish laws, that the new Greek Christians should follow, be more Jewish, like the Jewish Christians were, right? So it is into this situation that Paul is writing today's passage. Verse 23, he said this, "Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." Paul is saying here, you Jewish Christians and you Greek Christians are all of equal value, of equal worth as children of God. Children of God. The word translated to children is actually huios, the Greek word huios, which actually means son. Son of God. And actually, this is quite important because Paul here is not just talking to the men. Later on in verse 28, you see that he's talking to both men and women. But he's calling here men and women sons of God. And to first century people in Asia Minor, back then, under the severe patriarchal culture, this is revolutionary, what Paul is saying, right? This was a time when only men were sons, in that they had they were heirs, they had rights, they had status to be a son of somebody. Being a woman at the time, it was of a lower class. Sometimes they were considered property. Paul is saying here to men and women that you are sons of God. I remember hearing, having a conversation with someone who was a missionary in the Middle East, and he shared this message to a Muslim woman in a culture where there was a clear hierarchical structure based on gender. And when this message was spoken to her, a woman who was considered less than and called a son of God, to her, she understood it. Oh, I see what this means. This means that I have status. This means that I have rights. This means that I am of value. I am a son of the living God. We are sons of God. Sisters and brothers, we are sons of God. You are heirs to God's kingdom. You have the inherent value of being the son, the heir of the Most High God. Huios. Verse 27, Paul took it further. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ, there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Right? Paul's saying this, if you take the gospel of Jesus Christ seriously, right? If you take this Christianity thing at face value, then you cannot help but see the inherent divine value in each human being, regardless of race, culture, or nationality, or gender, any kind of identity. You can't help but recognize the divine spark in every human being. Then, of course, the world becomes our parish. Then, of course, we can't help but step into the calling to be emissaries of Christ's love, not only to our neighborhood, not only to our family and friends and our backyard, but to the world. To Paul, all people, Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, all are heirs to the Most High God. So, of course, he took the gospel to beyond just the Jews, and to the Greeks. To Henry Appenzeller, all people, American and Korean, are heirs to the Most High God. So of course he would risk everything to become an emissary, to share Christ's love to a tiny country on the other side of the world. And Appenzeller did risk everything. He was one of the key players in translating the Bible into Korean. And in 1902, at the age of 44, while traveling on boat to attend one of these meetings, his ship collided with another, and he later drowned trying to save a Korean student, a 14-year-old girl. And to this day, his body was never found. Since 1885, when Appenzeller landed in Korea, him and other Christian missionaries started 293 schools and 40 universities, including three of the top five academic institutions in Korea today. They built many hospitals, introduced modern medicine, new ways of thinking. As of 2015, 29% of South Koreans are Christian. Korea has the world's largest church, Yeouido Full Gospel Church, with a weekly Sunday attendance of 480,000 on a Sunday, which is just insane. I was trying to wrap my head around that. And you guys know like Joel Osteen from Texas? He has that really, really big church out there. They have about 43,000 on a Sunday. So this church apparently has 10 times more of that every Sunday. We're just like, unbelievable, unbelievable. But they have the largest church. And also, this is the statistic I like. South Korea sends out the most number of Christian missionaries to the world. second only to the United States. I can say with confidence that all this is possible because one 27-year-old missionary and his pregnant wife from New Jersey decided to heed the call to be an emissary of Christ's love to an unknown small country on the other side of the world. That because of Appenzeller's response to God's call, the gospel was shared throughout Korea. And because Appenzeller did what he did, my grandparents got to know Jesus. Because this young seminarian from Drew Theological School decided to travel the world, decided that, yes, the world is my parish, I'm standing here today. I am here before you because of what this one man did. On October 21st, 2016, a renowned artist and member of Cheongdong First Methodist Church of Korea, Changgon Kim, created another bronze bust, a statue of Appenzeller, but this time one of a younger image, probably when he was about 27. You know, the previous bust, you noticed he had a big mustache. It was probably when he was in his 40s. This one was when he was a lot younger. And they dedicated it on campus, on the campus of Drew Theological School, on behalf of the church. The bust now, today, it stands in front of Drew's seminary hall, exactly where 150 years ago, Appenzeller would have had a worship service with his wife being sent off to Korea. It was at this worship service in his memoirs, Appenzeller described as, quote, being filled with tears and the Holy Spirit. That is where his bust now stands. This was 2 years ago, and from left to right, actually the far left, that's my dad, and next to Dean Javier Vieira of the Theo School. Closest to the bust, that's Bishop John Scholl of our conference, our senior pastor of Cheongdong, Kisung Song. And then the man kind of hiding in the back there, that's the artist, Changgon Kim. He was very shy, very humble, but an amazing artist. And the Caucasian gentleman at the far right, he is a descendant of Henry Appenzeller. And so this was presented 2 years ago. And I was there taking this picture on behalf of the conference. And my dad was actually quoted in the conference newspaper, The Relay, saying this, quote, "For the people of Cheongdong and Methodists and Christians in Korea, it is as if Appenzeller came to Korea, gave himself up, and now 130 years later, we're expressing our deep gratitude by bringing him back," end quote. You might have noticed a good number of Korean Methodists in our midst. I know there are a few pastors who were Korean that served this church, and throughout our conference, there are many Koreans that are in ministry. And many go to Drew Theological School. I went there as well. It's a weird kind of spiritual homecoming, if you will. It is such an honor to be able to worship in the same sanctuary, the chapel where Appenzeller would have worshiped, to pray in that place where Appenzeller would have prayed, to study in the classrooms where Appenzeller would have studied, to walk through the halls that he probably did as well. Brothers and sisters, Wesley Church is not the church. As we break bread this morning, we are reminded that Wesley is just a tiny part of the global church of Jesus Christ. But we also remember that it was the faithful response of one young missionary in his 20s that led to bringing Christian love and hope to a whole nation. A nation that now produces missionaries and pastors who serve in ministry throughout the globe. That our tiny responses to become deeply passionate emissaries of Christ's love can change the world. Wesley Church, will you join me in reciting our vision statement? Who are we? We are deeply passionate emissaries of Christ's love to our neighborhood and the world. May the world be our parish. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the faith and the courage of your people. Someone like Henry Appenzeller, who responded to your call
took a step in faith to be an ambassador of your truth, of your love. Lord, he was generous. He was patient. He was kind. He was loving. And Lord, through his sacrifice, literally giving his life, Lord, a whole nation turned to you. Hope was brought to the hopeless. Love was brought to those in need of it. Lord, I pray that we, Wesley Church, as we break bread this morning, would be reminded of our call. Though we are just one church out of many in this world, we know that you are the God of miracles. You are the God of power and might, and through you, all things are possible. So Lord, use us. We are here. We are here. Use us as your emissaries. Use us as your ambassadors to share your love to our neighborhood and the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.